Thank you, Jesus. Let's talk to God as a song of commitment. So will I. Will not compromise. Will not compromise.
Oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've been doing since yesterday. We thank you, Father, for what you get to bring this meeting to a close. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray you do what you want to do. Will not come in the way, will not stand in your way. Walk through us. Transform, change, heal, deliver, strengthen. Let Jesus be magnified. Let Jesus be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen. God bless you. Yeah. I'll just put an end to what I started. I don't close meetings. I can't remember the conference we did and I have to close. Pastor Tunji has to leave. Okay. So many things. I can't go over what I've said this morning. I'll just see how God will help us. We said yesterday and this morning, and we said that the Lord has graciously blessed us with the Holy Spirit. And we said that the Holy Spirit is the foretaste of that which is to come, is the guarantee of what is to come. And we saw some of those blessings. He has blessed us with eternal life. He has blessed us with redemption. He has blessed us with rest. And we see also from scriptures that what he has blessed us with is the foretaste of what is to come. That our greater dimension of those things, and we saw that from scriptures. Greater dimension of those things. And we saw also that those things that we're going to have, the fullness of those things will come at the appearing of Christ, that is the second coming of Christ. So we will come into those dimensions, those full dimensions, when Jesus comes. And the secondly, I said that we have a responsibility. And I thank God that Pastor Tunji also mentioned that we have a responsibility if we must see, if we must embrace, if we must enter into that. And so let me read what I wrote here, which I started saying in the morning. I said there are three vital encounters we'll have with Jesus that will ultimately determine our destiny. First, with him as Savior, who redeemed us from our sin and his power. Second, with him as Lord, to whom we must submit in obedience. And I said in the morning that I want to believe that all of us who are here, we've come to that, we have seen Jesus as the Savior. And I said, if you have not, then we need to do something about it. The Bible says, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is the day of salvation. So even though this conference is a believer's conference, but we can't take it for granted that maybe someone here that you have not met Jesus, or you don't really understand what it means to know the Son of Calvary, the man of Calvary. and you have been convinced in your heart that if Jesus comes today, you will not go. So there is no point trying to shift it. There is no point trying to harden your heart. Take a decision. Because you can't be expecting the second coming of Christ when the first coming has not taken place in your heart. When what he came to do for the first time has not been rooted in your heart. You must know Jesus as the Savior. You must. And we said, after you have known him as the Savior, then you must know him as Lord. You are saved to serve him. That's why he saved us. He saved us so that we can serve his purpose. He saved us so that we can follow him. And I said in the morning that we must understand that we are not just sons of God, that we are slaves of God, even though you don't want to hear that word. But that is what the Bible says. That I can't change the terms. That is what the Bible used. We are slaves, born servants of Christ. And I was saying in the morning, so what makes him Lord over our life? We said because he bought us. He redeemed us. And I said the word redeem means to buy back. To buy by what? By paying a ransom. And we saw from scripture that the ransom he paid. What was the ransom? Acts chapter 2, 20 verse 28 tells us that that is his blood. It was the blood of Jesus that redeemed us. So we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so if he owns our life, then he has the power to determine how our life should be. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 19. Give me 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 19. He said, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and or gold from your harmless, aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but what? With the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Please keep in mind, when we talk about the blood of Jesus, we're not talking about that liquid. The way you cut yourself, that thing you see, that's not the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus talks about his life. The Bible says the life of a man is his blood. So it is the life of Jesus. Not that liquid, not that red. That's not the blood of Jesus. The life of Christ. That's what the Bible is talking about. So he died. He gave his life for us. And that's what Paul was speaking in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and what? And gave himself for me. So he demonstrated his love by giving himself. So he gave himself. And so if he has given himself for us and then you have received him, you must understand that you don't have life any longer. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 14 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15. The Bible says, for we thus judge that if one died for her, then all have died. Who is it that died for her? Huh? Jesus. So he said, the love of Christ constrains us. If one died for her, then what happened to her? All have died. And remember we said in the morning, what did we die to? We died to our sinful nature. So, our old man, I don't have a life any longer. I remember, what is the purpose of the old man being dead? Romans chapter 6 verse 6 tells us, he said, knowing this, that the old man has been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, no, it is the, that the body of sin can be done away with, so that we should no longer serve sin, or slaves of sin. So, he destroyed the sinful nature of the cross to break the power of sin over our life. And I told us that the power of sin has been broken. And you must understand. And that's why he said, knowing this, it must become a knowing. You must understand that Satan, sin cannot be lord over your life. You can't continue acting, following the passion, the desire of the flesh. You know, understand, you must understand that you have the power to say no. Ready, we saw it in Titus. That same grace infuses us, equips us to say no to every ungodliness. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read verse 14 and 15 again. So he said, for the love of Christ compel us. Because we thus judge that if one die for all, then all die. So Femi died. More than 2,000 years ago, I was crucified. It was not only Paul that was crucified with Christ. I was also crucified with Christ. And you must understand that. That all of us, if you have received Jesus Christ, the implication is that you are dead. You don't have a life any longer. Huh? Now, look at verse 15. What's the next? It says, he died for her. What's the purpose of that? He died for her. That those who live should live no longer. What you know, the word no longer means, before now you have been living for yourself, but no longer going forward, live for themselves. But for he would die for them and rose again. So this is our new identity. We cannot afford to live for ourselves. I told you my story yesterday. I wanted to leave Lagos by all means without even consulting him. And here he is, has a different agenda for my life. And I was sharing with you, if I have not been to Lagos State Polytechnic, I wouldn't have met these great people who have become a source of encouragement, who have become partners in destiny. My life today into my destiny. You understand what we're talking about? But I was bent. I didn't even pray. I was not ready. And that's what some of us do. We want to go to Canada. We want to Jackpot. Without even asking the one who owns your life. But this is what the Bible is saying. So if this scripture is true, so I cannot afford to live for myself. I can't just choose any career because there's money there. I can't just choose a job because there's money there. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge it. And he will what? And he will direct your path. So Jesus, he is our Lord. And because he owns us, we no longer have a life of our own. We cannot run our life the way we want. Since he is Lord, we are bound to obey him and submit to his will, not run the show ourselves. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 17. Let me show you something. That this awaiting grace, this grace, please, I want us to concentrate. Stop gisting. Focus. You didn't come here to give. You came here to listen to the word of God. And that's one of the distractions we are talking about. Be focused. You can't be gisting and be listening to God's word at the same time. How does that happen? You are gisting and then you are listening to God's word at the same time. It doesn't show respect for God. You think I'm the one speaking here? You think I'm the one speaking here? I'm here to represent God. He is the one speaking through me. So if your boss in the office stands before you, will you be gifted? These are some of the nonsense we have brought to the body of Christ. No respect for the things of God. Service is going on, you are chatting. You are pressing phone. No respect. Worship is going on, you are being selfish. Where did you get that from? Who are you worshiping? You are worshiping God and you are videoing yourself. I don't understand the kind of Christianity we practice. Praise and worship is going on. You are praising God, the Almighty God. You are being selfie. You are doing video. Then what are you praising? God? Lawlessness in the church. Worship is a place of consecration. Worship is a deep thing. It's like I'm meeting with my wife and I'm being sexy. Who does that? It's a place of intimacy. There's no man, sir. I'm wrong, prove me wrong. There's no genuine man, no sensible man will be having fun with his wife and be doing sexy.
So why do we do it to God? How can you be doing selfie? You are worshiping God and you are doing selfie and you are videoing yourself to the whole world. You know, some people are even praying and you are showing that. I don't understand. Nonsense. No respect, no regard. What is that? Because we don't understand what it means to be Lord. So praise and worship has turned to jamboree. You know, at times I get crazy. I get so sad. Because even the song we are singing does not even show we are worshiping. I don't understand. Bishop. Carry me, they go. Jehovah, carry me, they go, they go, they go. How is that a worship? So where? How can you be worshiping God? You are worshiping, you are praising God, and you are saying, carry me, they go. What? Where? What is that worship? Is that praise? Nobody say, are they praise? My praise, are they praise? Create the grace. Leave the grace in your house. And don't come and praise here. Nobody say, are they praise? My praise, are they, is that worship? And people sweat. They dance and sweat. What determines praise and worship? The lyrics. Listen, remove the music. Remove the music, the melody. And just say it. And let it sound whether you actually... Without music, sir. Alright? I know you're a worshiper. Without music. Nobody say, are they crazy? Now praise, are they praise? So, nobody say, are they crazy? Now praise, are they praise? So, you're not even praising. You don't get crazy. Give me space, so I want to praise my God. Is that praise worship? Praise your God. Praise Him. You don't need me to praise your God. I'm not disturbing you. It is an intimate time. Praise your God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus is Lord. The church is not half. The church belongs to Him. So everything we do must be regulated by Him. Must be regulated by Him, sir. Everything we do must be regulated by Him. That's what makes Him Lord. If He does not follow the pattern. You know, look at also some of these nonsense songs we sing today. We go burn the world. Where is it in scripture that we should burn the world? It's not scripture. We're not being called to burn the world. We can't burn the world. You can sing it from Matthew. Next year, it can't happen. Because we are not designed to burn the world. We're not designed to burn the world. But, you know, people just dance without understanding. They go spend the million. We go burn the world. Which world are you burning? God Himself, at the appointed time, will set fire on this world. He is the one that will do it. We are not being called to burn the world. We have been called to save the world. That's our calling. So why do you want to burn what you have been called to save? Because we don't listen. We don't pay attention to doctrine. We just walk by emotion. You know, I can say this now because this is the last one. You can pack your bag and go. It doesn't matter. We have finished the conference. You can go. Because, but we need to be serious. Hello? Doctrine must determine the song we sing. We don't use songs to water doctrine. So I'm checking the song. Is it in line with scripture? Is it consistent with scripture? How can we burn the world? We are not being called to burn the world. You know, this song sounds nice, but it's not scriptural. I know some of you might stone me. In your heart, you're already stoning me. But sorry, it's too late. I have the mic now. Therefore, gather up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. The next verse. Look at that. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former laws as in your ignorance. So, if you are expecting Him, if you are looking forward to the grace that was brought, He said, as obedient children, this is how we're supposed to live. I check that word obedience. In the Greek, this is what it means. It's an attentive acne. Attentive acne. So not just to be attentive, you are attentive and you are following. So hacking means to yield, not just to hear. You are attentive and then you are yielding. It's as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former laws. What I'm making us to see is that, friends, we have responsibility. The grace will not come on the platter. There are things that we have to do. The next verse, verse 15. It said, but as he who called you is holy, you also must be holy in your conduct. Remember, we read it yesterday, this morning, that those who have this hope that is coming must purify themselves. And so holiness is not an archaic word. Holiness is not old school. As a matter of fact, Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know, Bishop, I was listening to a man of God, and he said, that scripture is not what he's saying. And I read different, I was, you know, for me, this gospel is simple. Very simple. I look at it, I share grief. How can you say, he's not saying what he's saying? Say what he's saying. He said, without loneliness, no man shall see the Lord. Huh? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hello? So purity goes with these things. And as we know that purity is not just in appearance. Purity starts from the heart. It starts from the heart. And then it must translate to the way you look. Hello? As obedient children. Okay? Why should we be holy? Is it because it is written, be holy for I am holy? So Jesus is Lord. And then the third thing, Jesus is the judge. We must have this interaction with him. As Savior, as Lord, and as judge. And listen to me carefully, children of God. What would determine our outcome when we face him as judge is not determined by our salvation alone. It's actually determined by our relationship with him as Lord. Our relationship with him as Lord. So when you meet Jesus the judge, it's not the same one, Jesus the Savior. When he comes as judge, he's not coming to save. He's coming to judge. Hello? So who is the judge? 1 Peter, verse 17. Verse 17. 1 Peter 1. Say, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here and here in fear. Who is the judge here? The Father. Huh? Now, does that contradict what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. You know, he said in verse 4, I have finished my course, right? I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course, and I have walked and I have kept the faith. And he said in verse 8, that lies ahead of me. Give me that. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also all who love his appearing. Who is this person? Jesus. Is Paul contradicting Peter? Because Peter said, God is our judge. And here Paul is saying, Jesus is the judge. So let's allow scripture to speak for himself. John chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. John 5, 21 and 22. Who is this judge? As for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but he has committed all judgment to the who? To the Son. One more scripture. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 39. Acts 10, 39. And we were witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging him on the cross, on the tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him hopefully. Not all to the people, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen by God. I think I need to put on my glasses. Even to us who heard and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living. Thank you. Myself appointed PA. Thank you. Yeah. Ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Who is he talking about here? Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the judge. And when is he going to judge us? He's going to judge at the second coming, right? Hello? When is he going to judge? At the second coming. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Jesus is the judge. You have seen, you have met Jesus the Savior. Friends, and right now you are interacting with Jesus the Lord. Are you interacting with him? If he's your Lord, what he demands from you is submission. Total submission to his will. You don't have your will. You don't have a will. The only way to live is to live for him. What is it about this judge? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17. What is it about this judge? The Bible says he is without partiality. This judge does not take sides. Now, this judge is not someone you can bribe. Huh? He's not. You can't bribe him. He's a fair judge. What is he going to judge when he comes? 1 Peter 1:13. What is he going to judge when he comes? 1 Peter 1:17. If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, what is he going to judge? Our work. Hello? He's going to judge our work. How is he going to judge according to how we are? No, is it according to how we are saved? No. According to our works. He is not going to judge us according to how we are saved. He has saved us already. He is going to judge us according to our work. This work, is it before we are saved or after? After, because we are not saved by works. So we are going to be judged by the way we live our life after we are saved. This means the things we do after we are saved by grace is how we are going to be judged by him. So listen to this. We are saved to follow. Follow to be rewarded by the judge. We are saved to follow. And follow to be rewarded by the judge. And listen carefully, children of God. If you say you are saved and you are not following Christ, then you are frustrating the grace of God. Because the purpose for which we are saved is to follow him. And so when I'm not following Christ, then I'm frustrating the purpose for which he saved me. You understand what we're talking about? It is not the Savior who gives us the reward. It is not the Savior that will give us the reward. He's the judge. When he comes the second time, he's not coming to save us from sin. He's coming to reward us, to judge us. And we're going to be judged by the work we have done. His judgment is based on our work, not on his sacrifice. The way we relate with him as Lord. And if I'm going to be judged by the things I do after I am saved, then I will have to deal with fear, for the fear of God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me carefully? What I'm making us to see, and I'm going to end with two scriptures. What I'm making us to see is to understand that what we do after we are saved determines how we end in destiny. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. As his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. Look at that. He has given to us all things. Huh? The next verse. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, who is going to add? Me. Add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, these are things we can take study in each of them, but I don't have the time. So brotherly kindness, love. Look at verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. For he will lack these things. What are those things? Those things he mentioned. He said he will lack these things in short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Therefore, brethren, even more, diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do this, you will never stumble. Huh? You know, when you read scripture like you are wondering, do people read this scripture actually? He said, if you do this, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. Huh? The next verse. Okay? For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and the Savior Jesus. Let me read this scripture from the NIC. NLT. Verse 3. By divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Remember, that's grace. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enables you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by woman's desires. In view of this, make every effort. Whose responsibility to make effort? My responsibility. Can I do it? Yes. How? Because I've been given the Holy Spirit. The grace of God. I have the strength to do it. It's to make every effort to do what? To respond. So God's promises supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. These are the things I need to do. First, if you want to know what we need to engage ourselves in after this conference, these are the things we need to engage ourselves in. When I'm not engaging myself in this, then we didn't come for this conference. I need to sit down with this scripture and find out, how am I doing this in my own personal life? How am I working this? Am I working in self-control? Before I got married, I used to think that, you know, you courted for 7 years, you have denied yourself, you have waited, you wanted to, it's not something to do. So, only for you to get married. And after some time, you are hearing, I'm tired, I'm not in the mood. You are not in the wish mood. So, I realized that. So, I thought it's 24/7. I thought it's any time. And I'm hearing, I'm not in the mood. I have to let self-control. At times I say, what can I do to this one to deal with how? And I told her, I know why my father married 5 wives. Because you won't say no. In fact, that one, you can't even say no because you'll be looking for it because you want him to be with you. I used to tease and say, now I know why my father married 5. And before he died, was he saying he wants to marry one university girl? Before he died. Huh? So that if one is saying, I'm not in the mood, another one will be in the mood. Hello? But for us as believers, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't. You can't say because she's saying no. And that's why when a man gives an excuse because my wife denied me, that's why, no, you can't say that. God will take that. He will not, because he wants you to have self-control. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience, endurance, and patience and endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. So the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their whole sin. Look at the next one. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Work hard. Friends, Christianity is work. It's work. It's work. Please don't get me wrong. You don't need work to be saved. You are saved by grace through faith. But after you have been saved, Pastor Tunji told us, the grace of God teaches us discipline. The grace of God disciples us. This disciple aspect of it. So, dear brothers and sisters, work out to prove that you are really among those who God has called and chosen. Do this thing and you will never fall away. Friends, meaning if I don't do those things, I will fall away. Why have these people not seen these scriptures? Why are they deceiving you that you cannot fall away? That they believe that sin cannot take you to hell. The Bible says, if you don't do these things, if I don't have self-control, I will fall away. Not only fall away, look at the next verse. Not only fall away, look at the next verse. Verse 11. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read verse 10 to flow into to verse 11. So dear brothers and sisters, work out to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord. Meaning that if I fall away, there's no grand entrance. Friends, is it not that simple? There's no grand entrance. If I fall away, there's no grand entrance. So it's work. I must work hard. Hello? I must work hard. All right? Yeah. You know, some of these children, they think they are the only ones tempted. You think you are the only one tempted to sleep around? No. You think you're the only one that is tempted to sleep around? No. Do you think that money will keep you from not sleeping around? It's a lie. So you think you're the only one who is tempted? Some of us think that we are tempted in different ways. What tempts me may not tempt you. All of us are tempted in one way or the other. All of us, including Jesus Christ, was tempted. Bible says in every way, and yet without sin. What do you think was going on when Mary is knee by his side and was kissing his leg with his tears? Bible says tempted in every way. So which means that you will have been tempted with sexual sin? That's what the Bible says. Huh? If God has not, if you don't try to, the lady is kneeling by your side and crying, there is grand entrance. We give in to us. And so we need to understand, friends. I said, every one of us is tempted, but just in different ways. So you must have self-control. You must have self-control. Let me close. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, John was shown seven churches. Seven of them. Please, when you get some, read that. When Jesus came to give his validation, there's statement that was constant to all the churches. I know your works. I know your works. There was none of them that he said, I know your heart. I know your works. I will stop at one of them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Now, read from verse 1. Revelation chapter 2. So the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, this thing says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and walk in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now we need to understand this. What are these seven stars? Huh? What are the seven stars? Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 10. What are the seven stars? Chapter 1, verse 10. And it was in the last day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm the Alpha, can you just jump? I don't want to spend time here. And in the midst, let me read verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. Let's go to where he defined what those things mean. Yeah. He had in his right hand, seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are what? The angels of the seven churches, that is the pastors of those churches, the representative of those churches, the messenger of the churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw at the seven churches. Do you understand now? So let's go to Ephesians. How am I saying Ephesians? Revelation chapter. So the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? This thing says, he who holds the seven stars. So who are the seven stars that is holding? The angel of the church, the pastors. And who walk. Listen to this. This is very important. Who walk in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So he's walking in the midst of the churches. So Jesus is at the center. Surrounded by churches. So he's the midst of the church. He's the center of the church. And we have to understand that Jesus is the center of the church. It determines how it runs. So the Bible says, Jesus. So verse 2. So I know your works, your labor. Look at this quality. I know your works, your labor, your patience. Your patience. And that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. We have plenty of them these days. Who say they are apostles, who are saying nonsense. At times I hear some, I'm sick. You know, you want to just throw up. False apostles and prophets who speak high sounding nonsense that is not high, that is not sound doctrine. And you have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Friends, look at these qualities. Nevertheless, friends, this is not a statement coming from man. This is divine word from the owner of the church himself. Who knows the parameter by which he judges the church? He said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have what? Fallen. Friends, are you saying that it is possible that a church will possess all this quality that we just read and yet falling? That we can possess all this quality and yet they are falling. When I read this, I said, Lord, help me. I have to begin to search my heart. I said, God, where have I fallen? Because we are declaring, contending for the faith. We are saying we are warring against false doctrine. We are speaking against evil. We are challenging ourselves to serve the Lord. But friends, it is possible to do all that. And yet, our walk with him is not straight. He said, remember where you are falling. Repent and do the first works. Or else, I will come to you quickly. And do what? And remove your lampstand from his place. Unless you repent. Friends, what is that lampstand? The church. Meaning, if you don't repent, I will remove you from my midst. I will cut you off from me. That is what the Bible says. Because he is in the midst of the churches. He said, I will remove you. I will remove you. You will no longer be in that place. Listen carefully, children of God. Now, this word that he's declaring, that's the judgment. He said, I will come quickly and I will do this. When I come, this is what I'm going to do. I will remove you. Does it not resonate with John chapter 15 from verse 1? Give me that. John 15 from verse 1. When he said, I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it takes away. Now, we are these branches in him. The branches are in him. So it is possible to be in him and you're not bearing fruit. And he said, when you don't bear fruit, it takes you away. Friends, these are simple scriptures. Simple enough to grasp. May we not frustrate the grace of God. May we not frustrate the investment of God. Hallelujah. So many scriptures you see there. If I one of the churches, he told them, say, if you don't repent, he said, if you repent, I will make you not to face, not to taste the second death. What is second death? What is second death? Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Give me Revelation 20, verse 4. Yeah. Go back to what you just opened so that we can see, so that they know it's there. He said, he who hears, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. He is talking to a church purchased by his own blood. And he said, if you overcome, you will not taste, you will not be hurt by the second death. So what is the second death? Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the soul of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of the Lord, who have not worshipped the beast or his image, and have not received his mark on their forehead and on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Give me verse 14. Verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast out into the lake of fire. This is the second death. How could Jesus be talking to a church and he says, if you overcome, now this already church, this is, he called his church, is a church. Hello? That he purchased with his own blood. And he said, if you overcome, you will not be hurt with the second death. Meaning that if you don't overcome, you'll be hurt with the second death. This is not English. Principal, this is not English. Huh? I'm sorry. This is English. It's not simple enough. Because if the tendency is not there, you won't be saying it. Why do you need to warn me of something that I don't have the capacity? I don't have the capacity. I mean, the capability is not there. The tendency is not there. Why would he say, if I overcome, I will not be hurt with second? And the second death itself, meaning that if I don't overcome, if you don't conquer the loss, if you stop, if you keep giving excuses for your shortcomings and call it weakness instead of calling it sin, and run for deliverance, and run, when I mean deliverance, run for help, confess to someone. The beginning of my deliverance started when I opened up to someone. I need help. Help me. I'm dying. Cry out for help. Because, friends, a lot is at stake. Destiny is at stake here. Eternity is at stake here. Cry out for help. Stop covering it up. Open up. Don't say there's nobody to trust. There are still people to trust. Cry out. Don't let addiction destroy your destiny. Hallelujah. I'm done. As you hear me, come and pray, please. Done.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have we been blessed? Are you sure? Amen. Has the word of the Lord affected you? Have you had the Lord spoken to your heart? I have always said it is good to be here. Amen. May the Lord help us more and more in the precious name of Jesus. Now we live by faith. And not by sight. But the time is coming when we are going to exchange faith for sight. Amen. And that is when he comes. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, we live by faith and not by sight. Amen. We walk by faith. How many of you have seen Jesus before? You've seen him before? Have you seen him before? You've not seen him. You have not seen him before. Hallelujah. You have only seen him with the eyes of faith. Amen. So we are walking by faith at the moment. We are not walking by sight. But the time is coming when it will no longer be by faith. Then faith is no longer needed, because we would have seen him. But whether you are going to exchange faith for sight depends on what we are dealing with now, all that we have had. Our walk now. Amen. Our walk now. So can we bow down our heads and talk to the Lord? Ask him that he will give you the staying strength, the power to persevere till he comes. Till he comes. No, there's one Yoruba song that I love. Say, Onabule, Onabule wa oda, Onabule wa wapa. Our village is good, but the road there is not fine at all. Amen. The road to where we are going, brethren, is not smooth. The journey is not at all. But where we are going is beautiful. But the journey to that place, Kai, there are perils on the way. If you have read Pilgrim's Progress before, you know that book is rated second to the scripture. If you've read the Bible, the Pilgrim's Progress is rated the number two book to Christians in the world that you need to read in addition to the scripture. Then you see the perils. It is actually the scripture being put into a novel. So you see the perils waiting for you as you travel along this path. So you need grace. You need God. You need power to persevere. Ask the Lord. We don't know for how long we are still going to be here till we are finished with our duty here. Unless the Lord helps us, the perils on the road may overcome us. Beg the Lord before you leave here. Ask him, Lord, help me. There are pitfalls that many are falling into. I don't want to fall into the same pit. 1 Corinthians 10 says, these things were written for our examples. Those things. They were baptized into Moses, into the cloud. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. Said that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not pleased. We were overthrown in the wilderness. Beg the Lord, help me. Hold me. Me holding you is not enough. I may lose my grip, but Lord, I beg you, hold me, Father. Hold me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Help me. Help me. Deliver me from the sins that easily beset me. Lord, help me. The passions that I have been slaves to, give me deliverance from them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Precious Lord, we surrender ourselves again to you. Unless you help us, there is no help from anywhere. This is we, O God, asking again, that as we go from this meeting, grace will go with us. Grace to continue in this journey. Grace to walk as we ought to walk. Grace to walk worthy of this vocation. Grace, O God, not to bring shame and dishonor to your name. Grace not to corrupt the gospel. Grace not to be a disgrace. For the grace that you have given to us, grant unto us.
In the precious name of Jesus Christ, deliver us, O God, from temptations. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the wicked ones and his cohorts. In the name of Jesus Christ, deliver us from the idols that still remain in us. Lord, the idols that live with us, the demons that are still within, Lord, we pray your power will drive them out. In the name of Jesus, the passions that we are still slaves to, the things we still idolize, the things that we still cherish, unless we leave them, they will destroy us. Those things we are still holding tenaciously to, but we must let them go if we must see you. Lord, break our hands, twist our hands, so that we let go in the name of Jesus. Help us. Wound us if you have to. Lord, chastise us. Win us from these affections. Win us from the world. Win us from those things that we love, but there are things that would kill us. Win us from them. Be Lord over our soul. Be Lord over our desires. Be God over our will. In the name of Jesus, make us your slaves. Make our will your slaves. Make our desires your slaves. Make our choices your slaves. We surrender our ambition, oh God. Rule and reign. Prevail over us. In the name of Jesus Christ.